there, folks. This is episode 69 of the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. I've got my co-host, Thomas, and we've got a great guest. We've got the co-founder of Easy Agent Pro, Taylor Zach. So I'll let Thomas introduce himself first. Go on, Thomas, you introduce yourself.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a residential realtor here in beautiful San Diego, California. And you can find me on my website, thomasjnelsonrealtor.com.
And Taylor, can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, sure. I'm Tyler with Easy Agent Pro. Do lots of stuff, I guess. We make videos, we do podcasts, and met up here with everyone just on Twitter, I think it was, where we found everyone. So you can find us there too. But excited to be on the show this morning.
Oh, we really appreciate you agreeing to come on the show, and I've been looking forward to the interview. Can you just give a brief outline of the history of the company first, Taylor, before I start interrogating you?
Interrogating away. Easy Agent Pro was founded. We started out just trying to help real estate agents. We wrote a lot of articles, a lot of blogs. We probably have over 400 pieces of content now on our site, and 200 YouTube videos, all that just talk about, you know, how to get leads from Twitter, how to get leads from YouTube, how to get leads from SEO, like what specifically you can do on Google to get leads. So we try to take the angle of either being smarter or faster or cheaper with whatever tactic you're trying to, you know, use to grow your business. That's really what we're about, Jonathan.
That sounds great. And Taylor and one of his colleagues were gracious to show me the products, and I think it's fantastic, folks. And also, they're sponsoring the show for a few months, so we're really grateful about that. So I thought I'd open the discussion, Taylor, about what are some of the biggest trends on online marketing that affect real estate that you've seen in 2016? We're coming to the end. I can't believe where the year's gone. It's just kind of evaporated very rapidly.
It really has.
So a bit unnerving, and I'm not as good young like you, good looking. So what are some of the trends that you think have been the most powerful this year?
I mean, I think it's been the year of Facebook. If you look at our product and pretty much all online real estate helpers or competitors out there, everyone has just moved to Facebook as their advertising lead gen source, their marketing platform, their, you know, where they're putting videos, where they're putting links and boosting them back to their site. And so I think if you still aren't actively spending money on ads on Facebook and still aren't actively pursuing growing your business in that way, if you start that in 2017, you're already like way behind. So I think that's been really interesting. And I think it's also been interesting to watch the whole market change. You know, we're going into, you know, Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, they all have so much data for free, right? Everyone can find houses in school districts for free. But if you look at the stats NAR just put out, the National Association of Realtors, 90% of transactions in late 2015, early 2016 are still done with an agent. And so I think what's really interesting is that the real estate agent, the realtor, is not so much someone who controls the data that helps you use the data to get the home you like, but it's the person who glues that data together to be the expert helper to help you get into that home. And so that's what I think the year 2016 is. You know, we can go into green homes, smart homes, 3D, virtual reality, and all that. And that stuff's in the future. But right now, it's really just about that Facebook lead gen and you being the expert that puts that data together for people.
Yeah, I think that's really well put, Taylor. You know, I think it's the kind of big 100-pound gorilla in the market because, you know, the amount of people, the amount of time they spend on Facebook. And I also think, you know, some of the actions of Google about pricing around paid advertisement. What's your feelings about retargeting? Do you think that's something also that agents should look at?
Yeah, so I think if you'll remember back, it used to be about direct mail, right? Everyone's about direct mail, mailing people. That still works. And then it was about email marketing and the follow-up via email. And then people's inboxes got cluttered and, you know, the effective rates dropped. I think the one of the things that you can think about as sort of a mind thought is growing your remarketing list as you would grow an email list or as you would grow your CRM. So what's that mean? That means like when people visit your website or when you have a list of emails, you can upload that to Facebook, Google, Pinterest, and Twitter, right? And you can show ads only to those people on those platforms. And so that's showing ads only to people who've been to your site or who are in your CRM on that list. Those ads end up being cheaper and they end up converting at a higher rate. And so I think one of the most exciting things agents can do is use Facebook, use lead gen tactics to grow that retargeting list and to focus on growing that list to like, you know, maybe 50,000 people so that when you run ads to that retargeting list, you get like really cheap leads that way. So I think it's a really powerful tool that a lot of agents probably aren't using. And we could go deep into all of these and just like hash out the tactics to it. But when you're thinking about advertising or when you're thinking about getting leads online, it takes 7 to 10 touches before they're going to become a lead. Like you're looking at that Amazon Echo 7 to 10 times before you're buying it. You're looking at that plasma TV, and in real estate, you're probably looking at that $300,000 to $500,000 house, depending on where you are. I forgot the number, but it's somewhere like 6 months. The amount of time people are looking at homes is going up dramatically before they're reaching out. So it's all about getting in front of them as many times as possible, in as many ways as possible, and ads and remarketing are great ways to do that.
That sounds great. Thomas, have you got a question?
Yeah, absolutely. You've already touched on a couple things. I love what you just said about taking the email addresses that you capture and plugging them into social media to direct market them. But on that note, what are effective ads realtors can post? Like what's grabbing people's attention when you do take the time to direct market them?
Right. So the old adage used to be like, what's your home worth? Or sign up to look at properties. And both those were used by the industry from whenever to, you know, like just they started growing really dramatically in price late last year. And this year, in my experience with my clients, with other people's clients, just in the industry, those ads are getting really expensive. They just go to the point that we started with, that data is free. People don't want to opt in or pay for data, and that stuff they already probably have or know how to get. So what the question then becomes, what can you provide as an agent in order to give value to get leads, right? That then becomes the question. Right. And what we're seeing work for that, and what we have this private Facebook group, it's free to join, not selling anything. But like yesterday, this guy was telling us how he was getting dollar buyer leads by promoting a guide on his website that people then came to, opted in on a landing page for, and he was getting cheap for leads because of that, because it was something that he like had put together focusing on foreclosures. So we put together this thing that you couldn't, like, you can get data on foreclosures, but you can't get this personalized handcrafted guide on foreclosures in that area, right? So he was able to get dollar leads for that because it was this really, great piece of content. He boosts it on Facebook, and then, you know, he checks in 3 hours later, and he had run that to his retargeting list. And so he's showing people on his website this handcrafted guide about foreclosures in his area. And as you can imagine, that's up to like dollar cheaper leads than you would have got going cold market without, you know, with just like, what's your home worth, right? If you're doing a cold market, what's your home worth ad on Facebook, I would expect somewhere in the range of $30 to $40 a lead. If you're doing something like see the 10 best homes in Johnson County, update it daily on Facebook, for a landing page, I would expect that to be $15 to $20 a lead. If you do something even more specific, it goes down, right? Even more. And if you do retargeting, then it goes down too. So it's just a spectrum. Like, where are you on the spectrum? What do you want to do? And then that's what you're looking at cost-wise per lead.
Okay. So what I'm kind of hearing you say then is the more specialized the information is about the local market that you're trying to dominate, then the more attractive that is instead of putting out generalities that every realtor's putting out.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Which kind of just makes sense when you say that out loud. But when we get in this like mental space where we like sit down at our computer, we look at the computer screen and we're like, oh, I've got to put something into this Google ad slot. What's your homework? Right. And like, we just go into this realtor brain mode where we don't think or don't act as human. This is my favorite story. People email me. We have like an email list of 50,000 agents that email me all the time. And the funniest thing to do is to go look at their Facebook profile and then go look at their Facebook page. Because on their Facebook profile, they look like a legitimate human being. And then you go to their Facebook page and they look like some like monster who only talks about houses and like the comparables on like the market. And it's just like, of course no one interacts with that. Of course no one clicks that. Like, they just don't care. That would have worked like 10 years ago in 2005 when Facebook was new, but you know, think times changed a little bit.
So they want a personality. They want to know the authentic person behind that.
Yeah, you can go. So then that leaves you with two routes, right? So we go with, you can't do what everyone else is doing. So that leaves you two routes as an agent. You can either have the personality like KFC, where they have the colonel. They brought the colonel back because every time they bring the colonel back, sales go up. And then they get rid of the colonel and sales crash and everybody gets upset, right? You can go read that article. It was in the Wall Street Journal about
like, you can't beat the colonel.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and so you can either have a personality brand like Gary Vee, the colonel, or you can go the opposite direction.
Oh my God, can you imagine him as a soft food brand? What the hell would that be?
Yeah, you should start a pizza chain or something.
God, it'd be crazy pizza, wouldn't it? It'd be disturbing pizza, Tyler.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. And so like that's the personality side, and you can go that route or you can go the other route and just be like the team or the helper in the community that sort of syndicates all this stuff. So in that case, it would be brand related. Like, I don't know what the name of your team is, but it could be like MailRite. MailRite could be the source for Phoenix's like local information. You could interview local businesses. You could interview and do tours of places. You could be the agent that really stands out that way. And there are a million ways to do it. It's more fun, right? If you're an ex firefighter, like it gives you a leg up. You embrace that with the custom content, and you have just tons of room to run that way. It does take a little creativity, though.
Yeah, I think my position on that, Taylor, is that it's a mixture. I think on your website, on your Facebook, I think if you're a professional real estate realtor, people expect that you have articles, you find things that are about the industry, that i.e. you show that you're interested in what's going on in the industry. Also, some light-hearted things around anything to do with property and housing, and then mix it up with the local stuff. I think you need to think about it a little bit. I think there's a lack of thought. Would you agree with that, Taylor?
Yeah, it's like any industry, right? I think there are 6,000 real estate agents in Albuquerque, which is where we're based, and I live in Kansas City with my wife, and there are a bunch here too. And so, like any industry, you have, you know, the ones who are in it part-time, you have the ones who are in it full-time. And as many people as that is, I think that there is just so much room to still stand out in the industry by being creative.
Yeah, I do agree with that. So what do you think is a kind of realistic, it's very broad, but what kind of is a kind of realistic budget for Facebook for a real estate agent to start? And I would suggest they really do, if they really are looking at getting some results from Facebook, they've got to have a paid advertisement budget, really, haven't they?
Yes and no. So what do you, I think that what it comes down to is you can either pay per sale, or you can go out there and spend a lot of time building a community, making content, helping people, legitimately building bridges in the community, going to the bakery locally and like sponsoring their stuff, buying their food, having it at your open houses. And you can really build up those foundations that way and then bring it to an online environment and feature them on blogs, feature them on your Facebook page. They'll share it and you'll get leads back that way. Or you, if you don't have the time to do that, you have to offset that time with ad spend, right? So it's the spectrum where, like, are you going to go out there and only spend ads on what's your home worth ads and then get those $30 leads and you're kind of going to convert those, but then you've got to spend like $3,000 a month on ads? Or are you going to spend $100 only retargeting those people with, hey, contact me, I'm John, I'm here to help you, and then grow that natural outreach by writing blogs, making videos, maybe boosting a few posts? But back to your question, I think people can get good results with as little as $100 a month if they're willing to experiment, maybe make one of those guides like, what was his name, Brent? Yeah, he was the guy, the story I told you earlier about the guy with the foreclosures, Brent. Make that guide, boost it on Facebook, check it, maybe make a guide the next day, boost that one on Facebook, compare the results, maybe make a guide the next day. So you've spent 10 hours, but you're getting 10x cheaper leads. Or are you going to go the opposite route, you know, pass it off to a PPC manager, pay them $1,000 a month to manage it, and then spend $3,000 a month on Facebook ads to get those leads, but then you don't have to do any work and you're just spending all the work cold calling them, right? It's where do you want to spend your time? Do you want to spend your time calling a bunch of expensive cold leads, or do you want to spend your time making content that gets you fewer leads for cheaper, but they're more warmed up? You know, it's these spectrums that you just got to decide which one works for you, because some people can't sit here on a podcast because they don't have the personality for that. Like, to be fit, like, some people just can't. And so if you can't, then you probably
that's me finished, Tyler.
Yeah. You know, it's just gotta, like, you know, it's just, you got to know where you fit on that.
Yeah, I know where I fit, Tyler. this is a fascinating conversation, and Taylor's dealing with my English humor quite well. So I think we're going for our break, folks. And when we come back, we're going to delve more into a little bit about Facebook and then what Taylor sees as the things coming into 2017. We'll be back in a minute, folks.
Interested in a website that uses modern lead capture to help you generate real estate leads from blogs, SEO, and social media? Well, if you are, then you need LeadSites. LeadSites uses custom apps to help agents get better results online. Learn more by going to easyagentpro.com. That's easyagentpro.com. And when you're at the site, make sure you look at the bullet points, see everything that it does. Easy Agent Pro is excited to be a proud sponsor of the Real Estate Agent Podcast.
We're coming back, folks. We're going to be talking more with Taylor about Facebook and what he sees as some of the trends in 2017. So get back to the conversation, Taylor. I agree with you almost 70% of what you said before the break. I just see it, I just don't see it's one or the other. I think if you can, you should. I see what you said about Facebook very similar to SEO, on-site optimization. Yeah. I think you get a lot of people that say go totally organic, and then you have other people that say go totally paid. I think you should look at both, and I think organic is a medium long-term strategy where if you can find evergreen content, the return is massive. But in the short to medium, paid can be a very effective method to go down as well. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah, so I'd agree with you. I think there are short-term solutions when it comes to SEO. And just so everyone knows, SEO is like Google optimization of content, so you show up on Google. So one sort of success story that I've we help someone with, and we've seen an agent do. So we have an agent in Boston, and as you can imagine, Boston in SEO, it's pretty, it's kind of tough. You can't rank for Boston homes for sale, right? That's sort of silly to begin with, because most people there, you know, live in townhouses, condos, and the like. Anyway, so what he did was there were, I forget, it was either 7 or 10 of these condo names, and he made these pages to show up on the first page of Google for these condos that were luxury units that were being sold that needed a buyer's agent that weren't properly, you know, didn't have a proper website presence of their own. So within a week, he's showing up on the first page of Google for multi-million dollar listings. He got, I don't know the number. We wrote a blog. It's like 10 to 30 leads per unit the first couple weeks. And he was converting them at a high percentage. So it goes back to that spectrum we were talking about before the break, right? Are you going to go out there and rank for Boston homes for sale, where everyone from 16-year-olds looking to move out of their house through 50-year-olds who are looking to downsize are Googling? Or are you going to show up on the first page for this, the exact name of like millennial condo downtown Boston? If you show up for that on the first page of Google, you're going to convert those leads at a much higher percentage, because those people are looking to move into that condo specifically. They've already made the buying decision. And so if you can get in front of them, which is a lot easier because there's no competition for that. Most of the time, the home developer for new communities, the condo developer for condos, the townhome developer for new townhome, like they're not making good websites, so they're not showing up on the first page. You can get that result really quickly. And if you make a quality video, like how easy is this? Make a quality video. If you have any type of new phone within the last 2 years, you can record 1080p 4K video and throw it up on YouTube in 2 seconds with the YouTube app. You can make a blog post by writing 3 paragraphs, 1,000 words about this condo that you probably know because you're a real estate agent and know that town, right? And so it's a really specific thing you can do to generate leads instead of sitting back and saying, okay, I'm going to pay some SEO guru to get me on the first page for Phoenix Homes for Sale. In which case, you've sort of taken this, you know, maybe it can happen and maybe there's an SEO guy out there that can help you do that. I kind of doubt it in the short term. That would be a really long-term project. And once you got there, I think the results would be debatably. So if you stack a bunch of those little wins together and maybe stack it with a couple of the other stuff we were working with earlier, I think you can really jumpstart your business off the ground. And so that's what I would say to your point of like what SEO could be to agents and why organic could be so powerful.
That's great. Got a question, Thomas?
I do. I loved what you shared there about the SEO story about the guy in Boston. And my question is, a couple questions. First of all, these aren't particularly his listings. He's just posting about a particular community that he's interested in representing.
Yep.
Did he have to get permission from the builder or anything to take on that?
Some states, I'm sure you would. I'm not a lawyer, so like, put that disclaimer up front. In some MLSs, I'm sure there are rules where you would have to, but in most, if you're making the video, if you're taking the photographs, and if you're writing the actual content, and if you don't use any trademarks in your URL, and if you don't use their logos, which might be trademarked, then you're perfectly fine. And anyone can write a review of anything. Like okay. That's legal. So if you're writing a review of that condo building with your own images, your own videos, your own words, not using their logo, I don't even think that would violate any MLSs. I could be wrong. Email me if I'm wrong. It's Tyler at Easy Agent Pro and let me know what MLS that violates. But I don't think so.
I think you're right. If you're not specifically representing a particular unit, you're just talking about the community at large. And as you distinct there, you made distinct is the, it's a review. You're not actually advertising a particular property. So that is the workaround there. And then my other question is an agent smart to diversify those, or can you end up having too many? Should you focus on a particular few, or should you rotate and kind of add as you go?
I'm a fan of this old Toyota Motors management philosophy called Kaizen. And what it means is like small daily improvements. And personally, in my business, it's called the 2% rule. What can we do today that can make my business 2% better so that tomorrow we can do that again, and the next day we can do that again? And people always try to go for the big win and then fail and then quit. And that's not good. So what I would do is I would find, like, I grew up in Green Bay, so I was talking with an agent there this summer, and they're putting up in Green Bay, close to the Packer Stadium, a $1 million condo high-rise development, and there's no website for it. And so, like, there's a 2% win where if he spends 3 hours making a video walkthrough, taking a couple photos and writing some stuff, he can be on the first page for the name of that condo. And that's, his business is then 2% better for the rest of probably 2 to 3 years, right? He'll probably get a couple transactions from that. I could check in with him when I go there for Christmas this year. and then the next day he could go back and do that again, or maybe he could copy what Brent did and make a personalized foreclosure thing about, you know, the suburb of Green Bay that he also services. And then, you know, that's his 2% for the next day, and then keep right. And it's just the spectrum, right? So do you want to do this, or do you want to go cold call, right? Or do you only spend 3 hours cold calling for leads anyway, and you want to spend an hour doing this, and you combine them together and your business grows even more. So I think that we as marketers like to make these buying decisions and tracking way too crystal clear, where we say, if you spend money on Facebook, they'll click this, they'll fill out that form, they'll buy a house from you. And rarely is that the scenario. You've got to combine a bunch of these so that you hit them multiple different ways, and then eventually your business is bigger in a year.
That's a great point. I wanted to ask you too, and this might be off the beaten path, but we brought up Zillow earlier, and you offer a Beat Zillow course. And I was really curious about that. The title's a grabber. So could you explain that a little?
So it goes back, everything we've talked about is in that. So it's a really short course. It's a philosophy course that gives you something that you can go right away. So 3 short videos, right? How can you beat Zillow? Zillow gives data. They give it for free, and they let you filter the heck out of it, and they can beat you pretty much all the time there, right? They're going to beat you on Google for Arizona homes for sale every single day of the week. You just can't compete, and they're going to outspend you every single day of the week for what your home worth. It's just a fact, right? Those are the facts. That's what we're playing, right? Can't change that because you just can't. So if that's the scenario, how can you beat them? 1, targeted SEO, like what we just talked about. 2, targeted content, like what we talked about at the beginning. And then 3, those really niche retargeting Facebook ads to get people back to your site and build you as the agent who can help them. And so there are 3 short videos. They break down those things and specifically how you can do them. Because at the end of the day, the one thing Zillow, Google, Amazon, Facebook can't do is they can't curate that really hyper local information. It's where they struggle, and that's where they'll always struggle, because you can spend millions, billions of dollars ranking on Google for every city, but you can't curate that local community information as easily. And that's where agents come in. That's why 90% of buyers last year used agents still, right? At least that's what we think.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think our for sale by owners is at an all-time low of about 8%, so which would imply that 92% of them used an agent.
Yeah.
And there's always been for sale by owners. That's always going to be a factor. But what you're saying here, I mean, there's a constant theme here. If you're really listening to everything we've talked about so far, I keep hearing localism and specifics and specialties. So it's really about what community you want to represent, and then diving into that community, at least for this end of the spectrum.
Yeah, smarter, faster, better. Like, get really specific and then go after it in a smart way is what we think works for agents mostly.
Yeah, well, and I know we've had guests in the past on this show where they've said virtually the same thing. I mean, there's a definite theme in marketing today, and I think you just hit on it brilliantly, where the local agent can outperform Zillow because they live in the area they're marketing versus Zillow that's doing it from afar.
Yeah, exactly. It's that culture that's local, and syndicating that with the real estate data is where the agent's home is in 2016. And so you can exploit that in, they're all tools, right? Like you can exploit that with postcards if you want. You can exploit that. And that's why people often get me wrong. Like they send me a tweet or something saying, oh, you probably hate this postcard campaign. I'm like, no, do that. Send postcards to that zip code. Go on Facebook, record a 15-second video of you face to camera, boost it only to people in that zip code who own a home, and then go out there and door knock that. And then they're seeing you on Facebook with a video. They're seeing your face on the postcard, and they're seeing you door knock. Like, you just got – business decisions like buying a house aren't made logically. You've got to hit them multiple ways, and you've got to be smart in how you do it because you don't have Zillow's budget.
Yeah, right? I think that's so right. I'll give you an example, folks. I have another business that supports the gobs of money that I put into Mailrite, Taylor. that's just make turning me into a reasonably wealthy man into a pauper, Taylor, by the week. To get back on subject, I have another business, and we're looking to do some outreach. And basically, in my CRM of choice, which is Agile CRM, I'm putting in a number of possible new clients, and basically we're doing research on those clients, and then we're using a service that will write out a handwritten letter for me and send it to them, and that's going to be my initial touch point. And then I have a drip campaign of email which I will follow through, then phone calls on top, because I know, like what you know, Taylor, I've got to touch these possible new clients about 7 to 8 times before I might get some kind of response. I clear off, or I want a conversation with you. So I would suggest it's just the same in real estate, isn't it, Taylor?
Yeah, it's the exact same. You know, like, and the cool thing is, here's where agents get confused or frustrated. They look at this and they think, I've got to do it all or it won't work. And they start Facebook ads and they're like, oh, it just isn't working, I'm going to stop. Or they start SEO and their first thing doesn't show up, it shows up on page 5 and then they stop. Or, you know, it's frustrating because, you know, anytime you're doing something in business, it's got to be hard because there's competition and there's 6,000 other agents out there, right? It's how it is. It's life. Anything worth doing, you know, there are 1,000 things you can throw at that, right? We live in a point in time where there's services like SlyDial, where you literally can like send a voicemail to all those people. There's a touch. You can upload that CRM to Facebook and show them all an ad. You can upload a video to Facebook, show an entire zip code an ad. You can upload your people to Agile CRM and send them a drip sequence. There are so many ways that you can touch people that I think that's what like turns the average agent I talk to off, is that they get confused as to how to do it all, when in reality, you've just got to, you know, treat it like Legos and use one brick at a time, right? Like, you just keep stacking those bricks, and at the end of the day, the thing looks big and it's great. But while you're building it, it can seem a little frustrating.
Also, go on, Thomas.
Well, I was just going to jump on that because you guys are both touching on you know, exactly what I do in my business. So I'm going to validate what you're saying. It is a layer cake. I mean, we go in my business, it's a combination of email, video, text, video email, Facebook, direct mail, e-reports, and physical face-to-face pop-bys and one-on-one meetings and lunches. That doesn't all happen every month for every client. But over time, when you build momentum, some of that's systematized and happening automatically, and other things are happening organically because of me. And as you layer them all in, you never know which one's going to hit who, because you have visual, you have kinesthetics, and you have auditory people. But eventually, the consistency of it is what brings people into a phone call saying, hey, I'm ready to list, or calling you and saying, hey, I got a friend moving to town. And they seem to come out of the blue, but it's all that consistency and diversity that's bringing them to you.
And that hits on a point that like is my biggest pet peeve of probably the last 3 months, is this whole ROI conversation. Like every gall darn SaaS is telling you focus on ROI of everything. And I think 90% of agents are absolutely stupid to focus on the ROI of any new marketing tactic, because there isn't data to track. There's just so much that isn't trackable. Like
right.
YouTube tells you got 100 views on that. You don't know who viewed that. And you don't know like that person who called you out of the view that they didn't view that. There's not tracking on that stuff yet. And because there isn't, it makes it so important to like, that's why I'm a fan of the 2% and how all those, I think we talk about 3 or 4 actionable things you could do, why those are so focused and so like actionably based. Because I think if you do one of those things and get a quick win, it incentivizes you to then maybe see and commit for the long haul, which is what will ultimately grow your business like a year from now.
Yes, Taylor, those two things, ROI and big data. When anybody says that to me, I just want to hit them, really. But no, I don't.
You're not Amazon.com. You don't have enough big data.
Big data. Yes. You tell me the precise we won't go there. So, Taylor, what do you think some of the trends are going to be in 2017? Get that crystal ball out, Taylor. Start looking.
I think it's all just 3D video. Here's a fun thing. My wife and I did this 2 weeks ago. Go to Best Buy. On like a Saturday or Sunday. And what they're doing is they're doing demos of Samsung's, PlayStation's, and Oculus's virtual realities. Yeah. And so you can demo this software that's not quite there yet, but you can demo it. And I think that is where it's going. You can look at 360 videos on Facebook. You can watch 360 videos on YouTube. And I think into 2017, that video and the 3D video is going to start creeping into real estate. And I think it will be a way to just help the home buying experience along. I also think that Facebook is it's like in 2020, 90% of all Facebook traffic will be on videos. And so Facebook is moving to video. It's their next monetization stream. You can go Google Facebook earnings call. You'll see what happened in their last earning calls, that they've run out of space to put ads on Facebook. And so they've got to figure out 2 or 3 ways to make more money to keep growing as a company. And their ways of doing that are video and direct messaging. And so they're going to start putting ads on videos. Today's around the election day, the election coverage, there's going to be so much. They're partnered with like 80 people who are doing live TV on Facebook. And I think we're going to see in 2017 is the beginning of people going to facebook.com/NBC to start watching the news and start watching TV. And I think that for agents, what that presents is the ability to put Facebook video on there directly and to reach their clients directly with their face in a way that was rarely seen before. So those are my two predictions for 2017, that the rise of the 3D video actually being useful, and that video on Facebook will become more like television used to be, which will give small businesses, like pretty much every real estate company is a small business, give them even more leverage to get very personalized content directly in front of the people in their CRM and people who are like the people in their CRM who may do business with them.
So what about the other social media networks? Now, recently, I use Twitter quite a bit. And, you know, they've recently saying they're going to reduce their workforce by 300. I think it's the Vine video that they're going to suspend in the near future.
Sure.
Obviously Twitter's, you know, still very profitable, but in terms of Silicon Valley, it seemed to have some problems. What about some of the other social media?
Sure.
I don't think at the present moment, compared to Facebook, they really offer the opportunities to the real estate agent that Facebook. Do you see any of these?
Yeah, let's go down the list. So we've got, we'll just start, I made a list. So Pinterest. I think Pinterest can be useful for real estate agents to drive traffic to their website. And so if you focus on local boards, and pinning home improvement stuff, you can get people clicking back to your website, and that can drive a lot of traffic. Their ads are also really cheap. So if you're one of those agents who likes to get their hands dirty, go use Pinterest ads, because right now I'm seeing like a third of cost leads compared to Facebook, but the reach isn't there, right? So that's my opinion on Pinterest. Twitter, Twitter is only useful for reaching out to people directly. So for example, you could set up a search on Twitter for people in your location talking, using words like home, real estate, buying, and then you could send those people a direct tweet. I think that is incredibly powerful and incredibly underutilized. It also takes a lot of time.
Yeah, that's why it's not done, isn't it?
Why it's not done, right? It's like cold calling. Everyone says they do it and they don't.
Yeah.
And so like that's how you can use Twitter. If you're not going to do that, don't even make an account. Then you add YouTube. I think YouTube probably is going to struggle for real estate agents, because unless you're making like reviews of a community where you can rank on Google and over time get those views, I don't think it's really going to be proven that effective for generating leads. But I think it can be useful for like long-term SEO about, you know, community names and reviews of communities and walkthroughs of communities.
Yeah, about the Twitter, the only thing I would slightly disagree with you, doesn't it really depend on what your target, and if it's in Los Angeles or a metropolitan area where your customer target audience might be young professionals in the social media field themselves, or in new media, what the hell you want to call it.
Sure.
Being very active on Twitter is going to be pretty essential, isn't it?
I would say that the attention that they're paying to an individual tweet is so low that the average agent would struggle to see the return on that.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion. Like you can be right and I can be, but I don't think that the average agent would be beneficial. Now, you could make that your thing. And if you're in New York, that could, you know, get you some business and it could be a nice 2%er for you. But I don't think the average agent who listens to us would get significant business boosting from that.
No, unless you're really gonna go into big ways. You know, it's gonna be
send 1,000 tweets a week directly at people living in your city. Then you'll get
it's your platform. You know, you engage in a lot of conversation on it.
Yeah,
and you become.
I don't think setting up. Here's what people do with Twitter. They go buy, you know, some autogen blogs from us or from who's that company that does blogs for you? Keeping Current Matters. They go buy that, and then they set them up to auto tweet to Twitter. Like, that's not getting anyone business. Let's like stop pretending that works, because it doesn't. But what would work on Twitter, if you want to do it, is to search for people in your location or tweeting about your location, and literally send, let's put the number at 50 tweets a day directly to those people talking about anything. That would work. But it would take time, and it would take consistently, and it would take doing it over a long period of time to get the results. And, you know, end of day, that might be, you maybe you do Facebook ads and you do YouTube and then you do this too. But, you know, it's just part of that marketing mix, like we started the conversation with.
So it's Facebook or nothing.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, so for example, we have a really active user who uses Snapchat, right? Which is another one. But he uses it to connect with agents and then get referrals from those agents. So like, it's just a matter of like how you use that. And then you have Instagram, where, you know, it's really probably going to be useful in the future to do that. But initially, you're not going to see those clicks back to your website because people don't leave Instagram.
No, that is a interesting beast, Instagram, actually. And Pinterest, yeah. I think of the two we mentioned, maybe those are worth looking at. But I think you really got to like the platform and really dedicate time. I think you got to choose your platforms and really get real.
Yeah, start with one, really. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing of like claiming all your profiles and setting them up day one is like such a myth. Like, I see so many agents, they come in, they buy a website from us, and they set up 5 social networks and then immediately don't use any of them. So like, I think the what I would recommend is, if you're not doing any of this, which most agents aren't, is one thing we said today, hopefully one of those tactics, like even the Twitter one, one of those, maybe like I could see myself doing that. good. Put the blinders on. Stop listening to podcasts. Sorry. stop listening to podcast videos, reading blogs. Like, don't use the internet for anything but doing that one tactic for 3 months and then check back in with us and then add another tactic to that. Because I think so often what happened, even in my business, like right now, Easy Agent Pro, we don't care about SEO. We don't care about Twitter. We don't care about Instagram. All we care about right now is video. That's it. And we're focusing on that until the end of the year. And then we'll sit back, reevaluate, and take a more holistic view on everything. Because if you don't get that micro with it, you never find the thing that like helps you really get business from that. Because you're just so
– too many irons.
You don't pay attention enough. And, yeah.
I would agree with that because, you know, I've kind of found that I have ones I'm partial to, and I agree with you. I like to use Facebook more than Twitter. I'll put my blogs out on Twitter, or I'll follow certain, you know, gurus that I like on Twitter to see what they're putting out. But I don't go on there nearly as much as Facebook. And, you know, there was a stat put out recently that all social media has taken a decline, but of all of them, Facebook took the least decline.
Yeah.
So it's clear that, you know, a lot of it's, I think, youth driven too, that, you know, they're under the next, whatever the next thing's going to be. And so you see this surge move over. But, you know, what, to your point, where's my audience hanging out? That's where I want to focus. And that might be something that I have to get in tune with. It might not be my preference. If I find out my audience is more on Twitter than Facebook, then I better go to Twitter and learn how to utilize that as my number one tool. It just so happens that I know my audience is mostly on Facebook, and Pinterest and Instagram seem to be the other two that are really popular in my age group.
Well, all right. Just to finish off, because I knew there was going to be a slightly longer interview than we normally do, because Taylor's just got a breath of knowledge and he's been very gracious with his time. But just to kind of finish off with a final question, Taylor, what about reputation? You know, I think it's really important, probably more important in some ways than what you say about you, than what other people are saying about you. So getting good reviews, getting people to talk about you and about what you do, how important do you think that is?
It's obviously very important for real estate agents, right? I tend to not focus on that because it drives me crazy. And instead, because you can't control it, right? Like, they're reviews. They're reviews that are left by other people. And you can't control what other people think. You can't control what they say. You can't control who leaves the review. You can build systems to follow up with them. And those systems are fantastic and you should use them. But you should set it, forget it. And then once you have one that's working that maybe gets you 10 or 20% of the clients to leave you a review, then I would focus on everything but the review itself. I would focus on how can I make my processes internally better so that, of course, the reviews are better at the end. How can I get more people into my – how can I use Facebook ads better to get clients that, you know, fit me better so that, of course, I have better reviews at the end? To me, it's the outcome of – all the actions you've taken in your business. And so if you're focusing on the outcome, you're probably not taking enough action to make that outcome better.
That's brilliant. I'm going to say that again, because this is what I took from what you just said. If you want better reviews, get better processes.
Yeah.
I love
like
that.
Follow up better. Like,
yeah, I love
like today,
that.
After this call, we are building an automated system. We give free coachings with all of our products, but right now about 65% of our clients take those coachings up, right? That's dumb. That should be closer to 90%. So we're building an automated system that will send voicemails, calls, and emails to get more of those people scheduling that, and that thus at the end of the day we'll have better reviews. But like focusing on the reviews themselves, just for me personally, it inhibits me. It just doesn't gets me frustrated on the bad ones, and you always focus on those bad ones. You never, like, right. You know, I don't know. There are tons of stats there. You can go look them up. But if you focus on the stuff before it and borderline ignore the reviews and then just, you know, keep it there in my head and know that if we do execute on these things, if we do make the processes better, if we do make the product better, if we do make the customer service better, if we do add more touches, the end review is just going to take care of itself.
Well, and you know, I've been coached most of my career, and one of the things we're always taught is you focus on the activity, not the result, and you can improve the result by improving the activity. And the flip side to that is we reward the behavior, not the result. So when I get a referral from someone, I thank them immediately. I don't wait till the referral pans out to thank them, because I want to reward that behavior and have that repeat.
Yep. Exactly. And that's the same idea here for the reviews, the referrals. And the thing that most people cannot do, that humans are just terrible at, is deferred gratification. And so what you just said is deferred gratification. You're willing to thank them, maybe even give them a gift or a gift card or whatever, at the point before you even had the gratification of the closed sale. Right.
Exactly.
And that's what we're all terrible at. And that's the thing with reviews, right? Like, you're looking at that thing, even though the changes in your business are going to change the reviews like 6 months from now, which none of us can think about logically. You know, you can't imagine 6 months from now that well.
No, that's so well put, Taylor. Thank you so much. I think it's been really insightful. I've enjoyed the interview. So, Taylor, how can people get hold of you and learn more about you and feast on all your knowledge?
We have tons of blogs and YouTube, so you can find us at easyagentpro.com, youtube.com/easyagentpro. Do you want to talk to me direct, just send an email to tyler@easyagentpro. I check all my email, but I do get a lot, so give me some time there. And then our Twitter, we reply to pretty much everything there, so you can send a tweet too.
Oh, well, he does reply to his Twitter, folks. I'm surprised. Thomas, how can people get hold of you?
Sure. Well, first, I want to thank Tyler. I have 6 pages of notes here, so thank you. And you can reach me, Thomas J. Nelson, here in San Diego on my website, thomasjnelsonrealtor.com. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and even YouTube.
And folks, if you want to get hold of me, the easiest way is at jonathan@mail-right.com. I'm a bit like Taylor, but I will get back to you in a couple of days. Or you could Twitter me at my private Twitter handle, which is @JonathanDenwood. I check that more regularly than my email. But I'm pretty easy to track down, folks, if you want a conversation. I always like a chat. So, Taylor, thank you so much. I think it's been a great show. We'll be back next week with another guest, and hopefully, and be giving more value to our listeners and trying to get some ideas, new perspectives. And please join us next week. See you, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.